WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday, May 4th, 2017. I hope that you all are having a great one out there. It's about 40 degrees outside, cloudy, rainy. Yeah, not great. Not great. But still, better days will come. Just let's let the days pass by. It is Michigan. So we plan on bringing some sunshine to you all here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM because the weather clearly isn't doing that. On today's Current Sports, we will talk about a certain Michigan State University football player who looks to have violated his plea deal by doing something so idiotic, so just plain stupid, that I really couldn't believe the story when I read it yesterday afternoon. I just stood there watching it saying, you have to be kidding me. We'll tell you what that story is about in just a moment. We'll give you the details of it, and you will certainly be shocked. Also, there is a tremendous lack of interest for stations out there who are maybe contemplating picking up the Detroit Pistons radio broadcast for next season. There really is no interest. So what will the Detroit Pistons do, and how have we gotten to this point? You don't want to miss that. We will also talk some football with Nate Miller, head coach of the Lansing United men's soccer team. The season begins this weekend, slated for a 7 p.m. game against Ann Arbor, the Ann Arbor Football Club. Nate will join us live here on the show to talk about the start of a new year for LU. And then later on the back end of the show, we'll talk some fighting as Clarissa Shields is set to headline a pretty cool fighting event in Detroit. All of that and so much more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/Current Sports where you can catch the live stream of the show right now. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves, or you can even go to Facebook.com. Twitter. Let's go to Twitter. That's right. So many social media platforms, I even get confused sometimes. Go to Twitter, join the conversation there. Follow us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. So there are multiple ways, as you know, where you can join the debate, embrace the debate, and join the conversation here on our airwaves. You know what's next, though. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we begin with this news. Pretty sure many of you Michigan State football fans have heard this story by now. And are probably shaking your head saying, are you kidding me? Did this young man really just do this? But yeah, Michigan State senior defensive end, Demetrius Cooper, is accused of violating the terms of his March 16th plea deal by consuming alcohol. That's according to documents from 54B District Court. Now, the order to show cause was generated April 27th after, quote, the defendant consumed alcohol on / about April 21st. Not too long ago, right? Cooper, the 22-year-old from Chi-Town, Chicago, has a hearing scheduled for 1:30 p.m. on May 11th and could be found in contempt of court after accepting a plea deal for a November 2016 misdemeanor assault charge in which he spit in the face of an East Lansing parking and code enforcement officer's face. Gotta be kidding me, right? The assault charge was supposed to be dismissed in November and lessen to littering, a littering fine. Great way to get off, right? But that's only if Cooper complied with his bond conditions, one of which was, guess, not drinking alcohol. It just baffles me. We'll tell you about the video, because I've seen the video. It quickly went viral yesterday. Demetrius Cooper on his Snapchat deciding to violate and not comply with his bond conditions. We'll talk about that in just a moment. You don't want to miss that. Marcus Bingham Jr., a junior four-star power forward from Grand Rapids, Michigan Catholic Central, was offered by the Michigan State men's basketball team on Wednesday evening. Bingham announced his offer from the Spartans via Twitter. The 6'10", 195 Bingham has additional scholarship offers from Purdue, Butler, Pittsburgh, Oakland, Washington, and a few others. Michigan State University already has two commitments from the class of 2018, which are Foster Lawyer, who is, I'm just a big fan of his, great guard, and also Thomas Kithier. Clarissa Shields, America's two-time Olympic gold medalist from Flint Town, will headline the Detroit Brawl at Masonic Temple on Friday, June 16th. Shields, who is 2-0 with one KO in her professional record, is expected to face Mary Rancier, who is 7-8-3 with five KOs. Now, in an eight-round bout, is what the fight is scheduled to take place in, at 166 pounds between the two. Now, in her last match, Shields delivered a fourth-round TKO against Hungary's Silvia Sabatos on Showtime to claim the vacant women's NABF middleweight championship on March 10th at MGM Grand in Detroit. It was the first time two women have headlined a boxing match on premium television. History was certainly made on that day. And later on this hour, we will debate about the popularity of female boxing and whether or not it does have a lucrative future due to Clarissa Shields. We'll talk about that. Coming off a 3-2 loss at Comerica Park against the Cleveland Indians, the Detroit Tigers game has been postponed today due to, just look out the window, weather, according to the Detroit Tigers organization. The Tigers were set to take on the Indians to conclude a four-game home series. The game will now be rescheduled for a later date. Tickets will be honored for the makeup game, according to the Tigers. The Tigers now get ready for a 9-game road trip, starting with the Oakland A's tomorrow, 10:05 p.m. first pitch. Michael Fulmer, last year's AL Rookie of the Year, will take the mound. He was scheduled to start today, so he's bumped now to tomorrow night. Cindy, head coach of the Detroit Pistons, love this story. SVG has a new dog, and I'm a dog lover. I have a Morkie at home right now. Love my dog. But it's not just any dog. SVG's new dog, his name is Eastwood, and he's a red-coated Labrador Retriever mix. He was born with leg deformities and was found nearly blind, wandering in the cold. What a story, right? Eastwood was the very last dog remaining at the Little Traverse Bay Humane Society in Harbor Springs during Michigan statewide, quote, empty the shelters, end quote, pet adoption day. It was Van Gundy's 17-year-old daughter who begged the Pistons president and head coach to adopt the dog. Wow, that's a great story. Great story. Maybe man's best friend can help ease the pain of having to coach the lowly Detroit Pistons for SVG. Great stuff there. All right, in the NBA playoffs yesterday, the Cleveland Cavaliers continued to make it look easy peasy, lemon squeezy, cruising by the Toronto Raptors in a 125-103 win, taking a 2-0 series lead.
Think he'll do it again after he hit two in a row. Irvin took it away from Powell, goes behind the back. What the smoke? LeBron James from Kyrie Irving.
Ah, yes, the king, LeBron James, poured in 39 points passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on the all-time playoff scoring list. Only the GOAT, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, now stands in LeBron's way. Jordan is first on the NBA postseason scoring list with 5,987 points. Kareem had 5,762 points. After the Rockets drubbed the Spurs in Game 1, San Antonio gave Houston a taste of its own medicine in Game 2. The Spurs topped the Rockets 121-96. The win evened the series at one game apiece, but the Spurs did not leave the game unscathed. Get this, point guard Tony Parker went down in the fourth quarter and was helped off the court by his teammates. San Antonio fears Parker could have torn a quadriceps tendon, which would mean season-ending surgery for the point guard. Source told that to ESPN's Michael C. Wright. Now, the NHL playoffs continued yesterday as well. The Pittsburgh Penguins and Washington Capitals played Game 4 last night. The Penguins were without Sidney Crosby after the brutal hit he took in Game 3, but they still managed to beat the Caps 3-2. Pittsburgh now holds a 3-1 series lead. The other hockey game of the night featured the Anaheim Ducks and the Edmonton Oilers. Those two went to overtime before that was all said and done.
No icing on the play. Adam Larson gives it away. In front, scores! A silencer from Jakob Silverberg, and the Ducks have tied the series.
How about that, right? And with that overtime dub on the road, the Ducks will come back to home ice in Game 5 with the series knotted up 2-2. International soccer is coming to the city of Detroit. Isaac, please help me with these names in case I butcher them. Let me take a shot at them. Paris Saint-Germain and AS Roma, right?
Yes, on the second one. Paris Saint-Germain for the first one.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you, these darn soccer names. All right. Those two will kick off the International Champions Cup at 8:30 p.m. on July 19th. The Tigers and District Detroit announced in a news conference yesterday afternoon at Comerica Park it will be the fourth international soccer match in the area in 3 years and the first match between both teams. Real Madrid, right? Right? That's the easy one. Real Madrid,
amen.
Right, Isaac? Yeah. Played twice at Michigan Stadium. It took on Manchester United in 2014 and Chelsea that year for the ICC, while Detroit City FC hosted FC United of Manchester at Keyworth Stadium last spring. Isaac, you went to one of those games, right?
I did. In fact, I went to the Chelsea versus Real Madrid game last year, and Michigan Stadium really did it all out. They had the different sorts of banners in the stands that traditional European venues usually have. So you actually have the club crest reflected by these different pieces of paper that fans hold up. It's pretty cool. It's something you have to see.
All of that just went in one ear, out the other for me, dude.
It's hard to describe, in fairness.
You love your football, man. Actually, we're going to have Nate Miller of Lanch United later on in the show. You guys know I'm not a big soccer guy. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. But, Isaac, you love that stuff, dude. I don't know how you can watch a match in which it has the potential to end in a freaking tie. I don't get that, dude. I just don't.
It's a topic for later. We'll keep it up.
Oh, yeah. I could go on a huge rant about this right now. And last but certainly, thank goodness, least, we may not ever see this fight come to fruition. However, Vegas is already weighing in before the weigh-in. The Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather bout is already attracting thousands of bets in Vegas, and the fight isn't even a thing yet, right? 40 of the first 42 bets placed on the fight at the Superbook were on McGregor. The largest was a $1,500 wager at plus 800. Mayweather is now listed at minus 900 with McGregor plus 700. So right now, Floyd is the favorite, according to Vegas. Now, the Superbook has already taken more than $10,000 on the fight, which is by no means official. The book stipulates that the fight must be a boxing match and must take place by May 13th, 2018, or all bets will be refunded. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of our show today, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR _sports. Let's start the show. what today is, Star Wars fans. You know I had to do it, right? I love playing that each and every May 4th. For those that are like, what in the world has the show turned into? Well, hey, you guys know we love to bridge pop culture with sports talk. And today is May 4th, right? May 4th, 2017. It is May the 4th be with you. It's Star Wars Day, right? Yeah. The annual event that celebrates the popular movie franchise, which is loved by millions around the world. I must admit, growing up, I was not the biggest Star Wars fan until the new versions of the movie came out, right? You know, it's so weird because it's so hard for me to keep up with the Star Wars movies because I know they started the franchise like in the middle of the storyline, which was confusing in itself, but still classics nonetheless, right? And then in about, I believe, like the early 2000s, they went with episode 1, 2, and 3. I mean, Samuel L. Jackson, he was probably my favorite character, right? Other than Yoda. I mean, remember when Yoda like goes Bruce Lee in one of the episodes? Love that. Love that. And just recently, I know. So with episode 1, 2, and 3, I guess those were like the beginning parts of the storyline. And then you have to watch the old 80s versions and it continues there. And now I don't know where the storyline is. And I will say this, though. About 3 weeks ago, I'm a big movie buff, I must admit. Maybe not a big Star Wars fan, but I am a big movie buff in general. And Rogue One, which is a continuation of the franchise, like a hybrid movie, right? Rogue One, Star Wars Rogue One, I sat down and watched it. Wow. What a movie. I loved it from the very start of it all the way until the end. It was absolutely fantastic. Loved it. So, yeah, today is Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. Thousands already celebrating around the globe. And, you know, this year is an odd year for Star Wars fans, seeing as though this marks the first year, May the 4th be with you, the first year since the death of actress Carrie Fisher. Ah, the beloved character, the beloved actress who played the beloved character, Princess Leia, back in the day in the films. She unfortunately passed away. So I tell you what, later on today, I may just plop on my couch probably after hitting the gym and check out one of the old 80s Star Wars films. But May the 4th be with you. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you want to be a part of our airwaves. I wanted to start off a bit fluffy with the whole Star Wars talk because now we are about to shift gears tremendously and talk about a situation that, you know, a story that when I first heard yesterday afternoon, I had to do a double take and say to myself, what in the world is going on? We all know it's been well documented. We have beaten this horse to death when it comes to the negative storylines concerning the Michigan State football team, right? We've talked about this multiple times. Austin Robertson being officially charged with sexual assault. The three unnamed football players who have not been charged, but that investigation is ongoing when it comes to sexual assault. How about the players who have left the program, right? Offensive lineman Tayo Lacusa left the program before January. Linebacker John Reschke announced he was leaving the program back late February for making a, quote, insensitive and totally regrettable comment involving a former teammate, end quote. So much negative surrounded around the MSU football team. And, yeah, we brought to you the story concerning defensive end Demetrius Cooper, who, back in November, was charged, actually, with assault for spitting in the face of an East Lansing parking and code enforcement officer. Couldn't believe that, right? But I tell you what, when you look at it, I mean, this is life, right? So, I mean, sometimes you get second chances and sometimes you get off easy. What happened was Cooper, again, that incident took place back in November. Cooper being charged with a misdemeanor assault for spitting in the face of that East Lansing parking and code enforcement officer. He accepted a plea deal in which it would have dwindled things down to just a littering charge. There were terms that he had to abide by if that charge was going to be reduced. He accepted that plea deal, And it looks as though he may have now violated terms of that deal due to videos coming out of him on his Snapchat. For those, for our seasoned listeners out there that don't know what in the world Snapchat is, Snapchat is basically an app on your smartphone in which you can take pictures, you can share pictures and videos with different people who have the app. You know, pictures and videos of you just throughout your day, right? And if you put those pictures and videos to something called your quote unquote story, those pictures and videos will disappear, quote unquote disappear, because we all know nothing really disappears on social media, right? But it disappears from the app in 24 hours. We'll get this. Videos came out when it comes to Cooper of Cooper on his Snapchat drinking liquor. Actually, if you want to see the videos, they're on my Twitter page right now, at Al Martin, WKAR. I retweeted Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press, who retweeted someone else that had video of the situation. And you can see it. I mean, someone really had it out for Cooper, because anytime that you try to record something or Snapchat something of someone else's story, it'll let you know, like, oh, your video or your picture has been screenshot it by so-and-so. But it looks like someone else took their phone and recorded another phone and recorded the story of Demetrius Cooper. And you can clearly see him, dude. Just clearly see him looking at the camera, music playing in the background, and he breaks out a Hennessy bottle, a liquor bottle, and he downs a bunch of liquor. Clearly violating his plea agreement, which included, no, you can't drink. I don't get it. I don't get how you can be that stupid. I'm done giving excuses to these guys anymore, because you know the terms of your plea deal. You know what you should and should not be doing, yet you decide to go on social media of all areas and drink liquor and show the world, hey, I really don't give a crap. I really do not care about my future. I really don't care about this plea agreement. Look at me. I'm drinking liquor. Look at me. I know I'm messing up. I just don't get it with young cats nowadays. So now with these videos coming out, he has a hearing scheduled for May 11th at 1:30 p.m. Again, that assault charge supposed to be reduced to a littering charge if he adhered to his bond conditions, which included no consumption of alcohol. Just plain stupid. And now, the dialogue surrounded around the Michigan State football program continues to be a glaring, in-your-face, negative one. I don't know what in the world goes through your head when you post a video like that. Heck, and to make this a personal thing as well, folks, I'm on Snapchat, and I follow a lot of people that I know on there who are just so reckless on Snapchat and so reckless on social media in general. Snapchat irks me sometimes because millennials like myself just do stupid things on it. You know, I've seen so many times, you know, guys I know out at parties decide to, I have many pet peeves when it comes to Snapchat, but some of the biggest ones are when people go out to parties on Snapchat and they want to share what they're doing out at these parties and they show you the venue, right? Cool. Yeah, you're having fun. I get that. But when you put yourself on Snapchat drinking and reciting lyrics on the camera, I just don't get it. What do you get out of that? Like, what's the thrill of that? And to relate it back to athletes, it amazes me how many athletes don't understand the spotlight that they are under when it comes to playing for a Division I university. The spotlight is always on you. And for Demetrius Cooper, who was a starter on that defensive line for Michigan State, I mean, you are a defensive lineman for a Division I Big Ten school. You get in trouble for spitting in the face of an East Lansing parking and code enforcement officer. So you think after going through something like that, you would have your head on a swivel and you would be on your best behavior. But you don't go on your best behavior and you decide to drink. But furthermore, decide to put it on social media? Just plain stupid. And looking at the entire spectrum of this whole thing, and by the way, also in the video, I saw Gavin Schilling, Michigan State men's basketball player. He is also on the video. I guess him and Coop were hanging out. I can't tell whether or not Gavin is drinking, because in the second video in which it shows Gavin chilling, he's just sitting there with nothing in his hand. But to elaborate on that, I mean, he was around about five or six people throughout the videos that we saw. And he goes on a party bus, and there's even one stupid picture where he's just sitting there with a bottle of Hennessy in one hand and a bottle of Ciroc in the other. And I'm sitting there saying, you got to be kidding me. But anyway, I mean, what kind of friends are you hanging with that certainly should know, right, that you are going through this plea deal in which one of the conditions is that you cannot be drinking liquor? What kind of friends are you hanging with that allow you to do something that stupid? Right. Wouldn't you think that Gavin would be in your ear like, yo, hold on, man. Are you if they're real friends, like, hold on, dude, what are you doing here? Maybe you should put that up, or maybe you shouldn't post that. What kind of friends do you have around you? Because they obviously were not trying to look out for your well-being. Also, the video itself. Gosh, Coop must have some enemies, man. He really must, because for someone to go out their way to record that, I want to know who the man was that recorded that video and put it out there to the public. Because he must have a personal vendetta against Demetrius Cooper. Gosh, I just don't. I have no other words to describe this but just being plain stupid and idiotic. Whatever happens on May 11th at 1:30 p.m. when it comes to Demetrius Cooper, he deserves it. He asked for it. He just opened up the door and said, yes, please punish me. I'm an idiot. That's what he just did here. And I did the whole social media thing, too. I mean, why do millennials have to post everything? Why must we post everything that is on social media? Another pet peeve of mine is when somebody's, like, driving in the car. And look, I do it a different way. Someone's driving in the car, though, and they turn on a selfie video, right? And they're, like, reciting the rap lyrics, acting like they're Drake or whoever's playing in the car. What is that? I don't get that. That's so stupid to me. When I'm in the car, if I like a song and I want to put it on Snapchat, I'll, like, turn it the other way and, like, record the song itself, but not myself rapping to the song. I don't get that. Don't get that. I've done that, I think, once. And that's when Pharrell's Happy came out. And I'm like, I'm never doing this again. I look like an idiot. I look like a complete idiot. I don't get it. Just do not get it. You know, the appeal, you know, social media has taken over so much. The appeal of showing people any and everything you do just blows my mind. Maybe millennials want to feel important or validated or a part of the popular crowd. No matter how you cut it, it's a detriment right now. And actually, you know, on this very topic, we are premiering our very first swap meet segment, motivational segment, with James Moore, former Michigan State fullback for the 1988 Rose Bowl championship team, who is the founder of the Speaking with a Purpose swap campaign. The swap meet premieres tomorrow, and guess what subject James will be speaking on? He will be speaking on social media and millennials today. You don't want to miss it, okay? So how does this affect MSU football? Well, the Spartans already have lost, again, three expected starters this offseason. I mentioned, you know, offensive lineman Tayo Lukusa, right? He left the program. Linebacker John Reschke announced he was leaving the program in February. And, Austin Robertson was dismissed from the program 2 weeks ago after being charged with third-degree criminal sexual assault and is due in 55th District Court out in Mason for a pretrial hearing at 9:30 a.m. Guess what day? Just guess what day. The same day as a hearing is scheduled for Demetrius Cooper. Both of these players will be in court on May 11th. 9:30 a.m. on May 11th for Austin Robertson, and at 1:30 p.m. May 11th for Demetrius Cooper. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We're taking you I guess you could say, on some up and down emotional highs and lows. I'll start off with May the 4th be with you, and I go into this idiotic stupidity from Demetrius Cooper. And then we're going to try to brighten your day a little bit more by inviting to the show and talking some soccer with Nate Miller, head coach of the Lansing United men's soccer team. Let's hit our first break. Again, weigh in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Nate Miller, head coach of LU, will join me in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It is May 4th, 2017. May the 4th be with you to all you Star Wars fans out there. I had to get all that off my chest in the first segment. Engineer Isaac Constance, I want to invite him to the show really briefly here before we get to our guest for today's Current Sports. I don't think you're a big Star Wars fan, Isaac, but still, may the 4th be with you, my man. The Force was certainly not with Demetrius Cooper in this whole ridiculous story. Just brief thoughts. Have you seen the video just yet? And when did you see the video, and what was your reaction, dude?
Well, for the two videos I've seen, I'm going to talk about first Star Wars. My favorite when I was younger was actually the second Star Wars, which I know is heresy for a lot of true fans. It's Attack of the Clones, I believe.
So you are a Star Wars fan?
No, I've seen all the movies.
Okay.
But I would not call myself a fan by any stretch, but that was my favorite, and apparently it wasn't that good, but it just was never something that really enraptured me. So now with the new ones coming out, both of those are my two new favorites. But for Demetrius Cooper, like you said, Force was not with him for several reasons. One, because, like you said, boy, there was a dark side in that on the other side of that Snapchat video who was recording the video. That's... In my opinion,
it's a good way to put that.
Not cool necessarily, for one. But Demetrius Cooper, like you said, he's got an enemy too, that means. I mean, that means he probably did something to this dude to annoy him enough where this guy wanted to get him back. He knew
or
the
woman.
Terms.
May have been a woman too. Who knows?
Yeah,
male or female here.
She knew the terms of the plea deal too. Because
yeah.
I was not aware that alcohol consumption was in violation of his plea deal. But anyway, now he's... in a big load of trouble. And the thing is, listen, he's 22. Drinking usually isn't a big deal. The thing is, when you've got a week to go, and it's also something where, like you said, it's easy enough. If this dude wanted to have a beer in his fridge, nobody cares. He's not getting caught. But put it on Snapchat, on his own Snapchat, above all else, which is just inexcusable. And like you said, it's a new level of stupidity even for this MSU football team.
It really is. I don't know another way to put it, to be honest with you. I also want to pass this news to you guys. Former Chicago Bears quarterback Jay Cutler flew to L.A., Los Angeles, and auditioned with Fox on April 27th for a possible role in the network's television booth. Sources told ESPN that news. So you see Tony Romo taking Phil Sims' job for CBS, right? You know, he's going to be right alongside Jim Nance throughout the football year. He couldn't find a job. He was ousted by, of course, Dak Prescott with my Dallas Cowboys. Jake Cutler, a guy nobody wants on their respective roster behind center. Jake Cutler is trying to find another gig, maybe TV, is for him. Who knows? Who
exactly.
knows? But he did audition.
I want to hear this guy talk on camera, though. I hate Jay Cutler. He looks like some sort of drunkard who just stumbled off the streets. He's always got the bags under his eyes. He's a terrible quarterback, a terrible teammate. I'm not entitled to listen to what he has to say.
Tell us how you really feel, Isaac.
I know.
Oh, man.
I hate Cutler.
Okay. All right. And with that, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. All right. His name is Nate Miller. Of course, he is the head coach of the Lansing United men's soccer team. Single game tickets for LU's 2017 season went on sale this week. The 2017 season includes 10 home games featuring 7 NPSL League contests and 3 friendlies. Lansing United opens the season this Saturday with a kickoff slated for 7 p.m. against Ann Arbor, the Ann Arbor Football Club. The club's NPSL season begins May 14th on the road against the Milwaukee Torrent, with the first home NPSL match coming May 19th against FC Indiana at 7 p.m. To talk about the new, exciting upcoming year for Lansing United, we invite head coach Nate Miller to Current Sports. Nate, how you doing? My man,
I'm doing well, Al. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, always good hearing your voice, my man. I first off just want to, you know, just talk about our listeners about, you know, the team makeup this year. What does your team look like, I should say? How many local players and how many who have traveled from around the country and even internationally?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different look, a little bit of a different flavor this year. As I've had a whole, you know, year cycle to really bring in the types of players we want, the types of players that will make Lansing United successful in our league. And so, you know, we're certainly returning a few key guys from last year and guys who have been here for a little bit, guys like James DeCosmo, who's a new club captain, who I know a lot of fans are familiar with, who was our leading goal scorer last year. Local guys like Alec Green and a few other guys. And then, you know, obviously guys who aren't necessarily local hometown to Lansing, just because, you know, Lansing is not the biggest hotbed of young talent. But there is, you know, guys from Oakland University, Michigan State, kind of, you know, a lot of the big programs in this area. So internationally, I mean, first of all, yeah, guys from all around the country as far as Texas, Alabama, Florida. But, you know, in the world, I mean, we got, I need to go check the roster exactly, but I want to say 9 or 10 nationalities, anywhere between Brazil, England, Sweden, and Iceland, and everywhere in between.
You had to be kidding me. So Nate, as far as, you know, communicating with these players, is there a language gap that you have to overcome? I mean, what's that like for you trying to juggle all of those nationalities and all of those demographics? Is that a challenge at all?
I mean, not as much as it sounds, I think, just because some of these guys, I mean, yeah, their home is you know, another country, but a lot of these guys have made a name for themselves playing college soccer here in the States. Mm-hmm. So they know English. I mean, I don't have any language barriers with the guys on our team right now. I mean, guys are still arriving. I mean, we'll be playing with about half of our real squad tomorrow on Saturday. But no, I mean, certainly there's cultural differences, but when you're in the game for a long time, and just soccer is such a global game that you just, it's one of those things where the new normal is that there's a big, I guess you could say, you know, cultural melting pot in every team. And it's a good thing. It's a great thing. But the game has a way of bringing everybody together, and a lot of these guys are used to that. I mean, they're used to being on, you know, they left home a while ago to come to the States, and so they're used to that. They can fit in new environments really well, and so far the chemistry and just how the guys are doing together is really positive.
Yeah, I guess if there's one thing that they all know, if there's one language they all speak, it's soccer, right?
That's right. You got it.
As far as Michigan State players for our Michigan State fan base and listenership, Nate, what Michigan State players will be on your roster?
Yeah, the notable ones are Brad Santala. He's Michigan State's starting holding midfielder. And then also Jimmy Haig. He was the all-Big Ten goalkeeper for them this year once he comes back from injury. And then, you know, we even have a young player, a local Lansing player, who will join our roster in June after the academy season's done, Farai Mutatu. He's actually a Michigan State commit for 2018. He's a top young talent, so people can look out for that later in the summer. There's a couple others, but those two guys are returning, Brad and Jimmy, and they're definitely important to our team and part of the spine of Michigan State and as well as Lansing United.
Oh, that's pretty exciting, Nate. How important is this week for you and this squad when it comes to building chemistry, and how has that progress come along?
Yeah, it's really important, but in a sense, you know, we started, you know, this past Monday, but May 8th next week is really when the rest of our impact players arrive, and we'll even be receiving players just because of different academic schedules and the like through May. And so it's kind of a work in progress. You get a lot of core guys working together, getting to know each other. You know, a good group of them are living together. And you develop a good sense of identity as a unit. I mean, it's every year is a lot different just because of the different personalities in the team. But it's huge. I mean, that's really the most important thing in the first 2 weeks. Certainly there's a lot of soccer technical and tactical things you need to accomplish, but really coming together as a team and really just enjoying working together is really important. And it's coming along well, but it'll be really well, I would say, but it's going to be a work in progress the next 14 to 21 days.
You know, Nate, you had an interesting quote this week that I want to bring up. You mentioned how, quote, communicating with each other in an intense way is key, end quote. Why is the intensity key for a team like this, and how does that intensity break down walls when trying to build chemistry?
Well, look, the intensity has to happen right away because our league is so competitive that, you know, we all come here for one objective. That's to win the league. And so you just don't have any time to, like, feel your way into the season. If you feel your way into the season, you're not in the conversation to win it. So guys understanding just my teams play very high-intensity style of soccer. We defend from the front. We really like to pick up the tempo of the game. And so it's just important for guys to be, you know, one of the weaknesses I thought of our team last year is we didn't have enough personalities and really guys with maybe enough ego, really, to be honest. And I felt like that showed a little bit sometimes in some games where there was a couple heartbreakers where if we'd have won them and it was just a small margin, we could have won the league if two different games had gone our way. And so just being able to be really like be able to communicate well, but also ask a lot of each other and really and do that early on, I think is really important to set like a working culture.
Nate Miller, head coach of the Lansing United men's soccer team. Nate led LU to a 4-4-4 NPSL record last year. And I believe, Nate, this will be your third year, correct?
This will be my second.
Second year. How do you measure success for the team this year in comparison to what how last year panned out?
Yeah, so last year was just okay. I mean, we tied for third in the league. I mean, there's so much parity in that league. And like I mentioned before, the margins were very slim. I think one year through now, I have a very clear idea of what it takes to be a top team in this league. I mean, we had to rebuild last year. I mean, a lot had gone on. There was a new coach, and the team had finished sixth in the league the year before that. And so we had to kind of reshuffle the deck, and now I'm doing it a little bit more, but with a much clearer idea of what types of players and personalities I want to play the type of soccer that we want to entertain our fans with. And so, I mean, I think players is such a key, like who you have is obviously such a key component, but I think we have a really good group of returning guys that can help show the way to the new guys I brought in and start off really, really strong.
Yesterday, you guys, Nate, revealed your new jerseys and sponsor for this upcoming year at the East Lansing Soccer Complex. Can you tell the fans out there and our listeners what the jerseys look like and kind of describe them? And I believe you guys have a sponsorship deal with Hungry Howie's, if I'm correct.
Yeah, that's right. So four of our players went to Hungry Howie's and unveiled the kits, as they're called in soccer, and they looked really great. I mean, Moneyball, who's a great partner of ours, they designed the jerseys, which have a really cool subtle features on them, but they're the same jerseys as last year. Just Moneyball is just continues to be a great partner for us and is now our kit sponsor. So they're on the front, and then Lansing uniforms on the back, but we kind of just unveiled, it's the same few kits that we have, but just with Hungry Howie's on the front as our shirt sponsor. And yeah, Moneyball did a great job last year of making new original kits, like our away uniforms. The numbers on the back actually have the faces of the Sons of Ransom on them, which is pretty cool, as well as the city skyline of Lansing on the home hoop jersey. So kind of little subtle things that make it pretty cool for the players.
Oh, that's very cool. So does that mean that your players get to eat at Hungry Howie's for free, Nate? I'm pretty sure you probably don't want them doing that.
Every game, man. After every game, our locker room smells like flavored crust pizza, you know?
Do you have a favorite pizza, Nate?
Me, I grew up in the Middle East, so I actually like olives on my pizza. That's my thing. But most people don't roll that way, I guess.
Dig that. I love it. Nate, before we get you out of here, my man, I want you to just talk about what you've seen from the fan base, the soccer fan base here in Lansing. What was that first year like for you? And do you expect that fan base to grow at the East Lansing Soccer Complex? If so, why?
Yeah, the Sons of Ransom, which are our supporters group, are awesome. They're just a passionate group of men, women, even some children. It's awesome. I mean, they just love the game. It's a fanatical kind of environment, which is fun. I mean, I think that they want to grow. They need to grow. I think Lansing soccer, you know, community is coming along, and I just think it takes some people to just come to the game, enjoy it, watch it. And if you really are into it, join the Sons of Ransom. It doesn't take any sort of you don't need to apply for a membership. Just as long as you love LANU and want to just go all out and paint your face or bring a flag or something. Yeah, I think it's important for a supporters group in kind of the professional soccer culture to grow kind of organically. It's not like a club-led thing. It's up to the supporters group to really grow, thrive, and just be passionate about your club. And not just your club, but your city, your community. And I think that so if you're just passionate about Lansing, about the city, that's what we are. We're Lansing United. We are one city with one club, and we want to, and as far as a coach and a team, we want to win games and titles for that club.
Again, folks, single game tickets for Lansing United's 2017 season went on sale this week. LU opens up the year this Saturday, kickoff 7 p.m. against the Ann Arbor Football Club. If you want tickets, ticket prices are unchanged from 2016, are $8 online, $10 at the gate on game day for adults. So, Nate, you want them to come on out, right?
Yeah, man, come on out. The weather's not great this Saturday, but come on out, experience it. And I'm pretty sure you'll be hooked. We got some exciting players.
All right. And last question. I got to throw this out to you, Nate, with it being May the 4th, of course, Star Wars Day. Are you a Star Wars fan at all? Do you have a favorite Star Wars movie?
Man, I'm sorry if you are. I'm not a Star Wars guy. That's just not right up my alley. I don't even know what the movies are called.
Preach. I'm not either.
You'd catch me watching old soccer videos or just I'm just watching soccer nonstop. So I'm sorry, that's not my cup of tea. And until I listened to your segment right before I was on, didn't even know it was Star Wars Day. So apologies to all the crazies out there.
No, I'm the same way, Nate. I just recently watched the latest film, which is pretty good, but I'm not a Star Wars geek by any means. But we want to cater to that fan base for today. Nate Miller, head coach of the Lansing United men's soccer team. Nate, congratulations on another year. We look forward to seeing what you guys do out there on the field.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it.
All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by chatting about Clarissa Shields, who is set to headline yet another boxing event in Detroit. Can Clarissa Shields slowly but surely make female boxing a thing? We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I want to briefly go back to a story that we had at the end of Segment A before we brought on Nate Miller, head coach of the Lansing United men's soccer team. The Detroit Pistons, their three-year deal with 105.1 FM has expired. And right now, the Pistons are sort of scrambling to try and find a new home, a new radio home, for next season, as they will move into a new literal home when it comes to playing the games at Little Caesars Arena. But, you know, it's interesting because the Pistons joined Greater Media back in 2014 with the Games to Air one, which was then 105.1. There were just low ratings. 105.1 really didn't really take off. And then all of a sudden you saw 105.1 FM in Detroit transform into an old school hip hop station. Actually, our Rico Beard, a dear friend of the show who we have on, he had a show with Ryan Armani of Fox 2 News in Detroit. He had a show on 105.1, and you know, then all of a sudden they decided to switch things up and get rid of the entire sports format. Very unfortunate stuff. But the Pistons decided to opt out, actually stayed on the bounce for 2016-17, adhering to that contract, right? Now, Greater Media owned 105.1 when the Pistons deal went down, but the company was purchased last summer by Beasley Media, so it's no longer Greater Media. It's unclear whether or not Beasley is interested in keeping the Pistons despite being the only sports presence on 105.1. The Pistons really have no other options, and this is very unfortunate because, I mean, I remember growing up listening to my beloved Pistons, and especially during the going-to-work days, right, of the red, white, and royal blue, the fan base was excited. They had a great team. They were making the playoffs consistently, and Pistons fans wanted to hear their team if they weren't in front of a television. My, oh, my, how things have changed, and this is very unfortunate. And just the entire, you know, you look at the entire sports radio landscape. You know, we didn't bring this story up earlier this week, but I'm sure many of you sports talk fans have heard this news already. But Matt Shepard, who was actually named Michigan Sports Broadcaster of the Year not too long ago, He had a show on WVFN in Detroit, the station that directly competes with 97.1 The Ticket. Well, Matt Shepherd was actually fired this week. And I saw a local interview here in the area with Matt talking about why he was fired in the changing landscape of sports talk radio. And he mentioned how, you know, sports talk fans are so intrigued with you know, the different formats, not just hardcore sports talk all of the time. And, you know, not and again, he prefaces by saying, look, I'm not saying this is an excuse as to why I got fired, but you're starting to see the listenership really change. The evolution of media is so fascinating to me, Isaac. I mean, we mentioned how ESPN fired 100 employees not too long ago, right? I believe that was last week. 60 to 70 of those on-air talent. It's such a changing landscape now. And viewers and fans and listeners are looking for different content. And they want that content to be really easy to find. And that has a direct correlation to having a strong online and digital presence. That is something that ESPN has really dropped the ball in doing, really establishing itself online. But man, oh man, it seems like the entire landscape of media is ever changing. And going back to the Pistons as well, I mean, the Pistons, you just got to win. If you build it, they will come. The Pistons just haven't been a good franchise for a while now.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not going to try to put my hand on the pulse of what sports media currently is like, just because if I could do that, I'd be making millions of dollars. Right now, nobody knows where sports media is heading, especially when it comes to TV, radio, print. I mean, it really, the only for sure direction right now is when it comes to social media. That is, in some ways, the moneymaker currently. But the thing is, when it's the Pistons, you think that would be a decent base to have on-air radio games. It's a pretty suburban population right around Detroit. Obviously, you've got the suburbs extending 45 minutes each way. A lot of drivers, therefore a lot of radio listenership. So you think it would actually work out in the favor of the Pistons to get a relatively lucrative radio deal. Like you said, a lot of this is about generating fan interest in the first place for the games. But this, in my opinion, directly correlates to actual excitement that's going to come next year when the Pistons move into downtown. They need to find a way to attract a broad base of people who want to see, who want to hear, whatever it might be, the Pistons, in order to make this a continuously successful franchise. Because the thing is, you have to land a radio deal. You have to land a radio deal as an NBA team. And this should not be something that the Pistons are struggling with.
Why do you say have to? I'm curious. Elaborate on that. Why do you think they have to land one?
I don't have a great reason for you, just because it's an NBA team. I feel like you need a radio sponsorship. So, I don't need one, or I don't know one who doesn't have that radio deal.
Right. That's very true. So you're more so speaking from the standpoint of continuity across the league in general.
Exactly,
every NBA
the current
team
lens
naturally has a radio gig, right? And I think that, you know, because you look at the stations who are currently in Detroit that could possibly be an option for the Pistons to be a part of a broadcast. WJR 960 AM was actually approached by the Pistons, and WJR really expressed little interest, right? The only avenue I can see, probably the last shot with 2 seconds left, would be 97.1 The Ticket. That's the only way, because I mean you look at 105.1 again. They have changed the entire format. If you turn on 105.1 in Detroit right now, you're going to hear Ja Rule or 50 Cent or something like that, right? Old school hip hop, early 2000s hip hop, I should say. And you know you look at what's currently taking place with WJR. They've already approached them and they're saying, "We already got the Lions. We're good. We don't want the Pistons. They're not great." So 97.1 is the last shot, and if that doesn't pan out, the only way I can see this thing going is maybe a live stream online. That is the only way you could possibly see the Pistons getting some type of radio stream, if you even call it a radio stream. It'll be like a podcast, a live podcast online, which would be different, but very unfortunate, because it'll just, you know, when you think about the Pistons and not having a live radio broadcast that you can tune in your car on the dial, it makes the franchise look bad, because it just puts in perspective just how bad this franchise is.
Well, and like I said, there is a market in and around Detroit for radio broadcast. People drive all the time. That's just how it is in southeastern Michigan. You think that a radio station that played a live sporting event would be able to garner some interest. Hopefully it happens, but if not, it'll be an interesting experiment. Maybe they can make lemonade out of limes, but who knows? I mean, right now, I don't think that's how it's going.
We will only time will tell. I tell you that. It's a very unfortunate story. Briefly here, with just a minute left, Clarissa Shields is set to headline a very cool fight event in the city of Detroit. America's two-time Olympic gold medalist will headline the Detroit Brawl at Masonic Temple on Friday, June 16th. She's expected to face Mary Rancier, who is 7-8-3 with 5 KOs. In her last match, Shields delivered a fourth-round TKO against Hungary's Silvia Sabados on Showtime, which actually was the first time that two women have headlined a boxing match on premium television. We will continue that discussion on tomorrow's Current Sports. I will discuss what came of the ratings due to that Showtime event and whether or not female boxing has a legit lucrative, and I think that's the key word, lucrative future on sports televisions across the country. We'll discuss that and so much more on tomorrow's Current Sports. Again, the swap meet also premieres tomorrow, 1 p.m. right here on WKAR AMA 70 94.5 FM. Take care, folks, and be easy, people.